Psalm 40. To the chief musician. We don't know if this is dedicated to him or this is a kind of a routing instruction. And it is a Psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Jehovah my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. I proclaim the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips. O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O Jehovah. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Jehovah, make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and brought to mutual confusion who seek to destroy my life. Let them be driven backward and brought to dishonor who wish me evil. Let them be confounded because of their shame who say to me, Aha! Aha! Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let such as love your salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified, but I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinks upon me. You are my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. This psalm is a favorite of many, and as you go through it, you can see why, even if you haven't thought about it much before. David, in whatever the situation was that led him to pen it, moved by the Holy Spirit, was thinking about the fact that God is a covenant God who graciously preserves his people from all sorts of things. That's how it starts out there in the first three verses. And it's a pretty, a bold illustration there. The picture is someone who has fallen into a deep hole, kids. And at the bottom is all kinds of gooey, sticky mud. And it's too high to climb out of, and it is too sticky to get himself loose from. He's trapped. And that is the nature of sin. That is the nature of sin. It's a trap, you see, and you can't get yourself out. It is by the grace of God that God pulled him out, reached down there. There was no man who could do so. It was way, way down there that he was. No one could reach down. No one could pull him up, and he sure couldn't pull himself up. But God reached down, pulled him up, put him on a good, solid, dry rock where it was firm and where he could stand. That was a picture of his sin being dealt with by God's kindness, his mercy, his grace, his love, what we call his goodness. I have this hammered into you kids yet. He had all this, and he was set upon the rock, which is so often throughout Scripture a picture, when speaking of the rock, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was delivered on the basis of the Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done. Now, he goes on to say about how the righteous, the godly, are blessed, and how it is that God's kindness provides the blessing. In fact, David here is thinking about, well, let me see if I can list all the good things that God has done for me and all the good things that God has done. I don't know if your children have heard someone say, if you are, well, I can't remember how the song goes, but if you can't sleep, count your blessings instead of sheep. Then you'll fall asleep counting your blessings, all right? Nobody can really go through the list. A commentator I was reading about here said, when you try to list, when anyone tries to list all the blessings God gives, it always ends up by saying, etc., 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 or and so on and so on, because you can go on forever. The blessings we have are so wonderful, particularly for those of us who are in Jesus Christ. They're more than can be numbered, as he says here. Now, in verses 6 through 8, we have here the fact that David recognizes that sacrifices and offerings are not enough. And empty going through motions is not enough. There must be looking beyond them. There must be some sort of something else back there, and we'll get to that in a moment. But David, redeemed by God, redeemed by one who in his day would come, as he looked forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, talks of God's deliverance. He tells others about this. We see that in verses 9 here and 10. Now, at the same time, he recognizes that of himself, he is a sinner. That's why he was down in that hole. And so we have him saying in verses 11 through 14 to be praying that God would deliver him from, number one, evil, that is, hard circumstances around him, like wicked people who are trying to pull him down, but from an even worse thing, from his own sin. Right? So we see that in verses 11 through verse 15. Lastly, he prays that God would indeed bless all his people, and even or especially him, the one who, in his opinion, deserved at least. Now, David has acknowledged himself to be a sinner here. How can he pray for God's blessing? We'll look at this more in the sermon here in a few moments. But it is because this psalm, very explicitly, is going beyond David. It's looking to Jesus. And as a matter of fact, we know for a fact that these words here in verses 6 through 8, and really verses 6 through 10, are words of Jesus. They are words of Jesus. They are words from his heart, words from his mind. Words that he expressed in heaven before he came to earth as a little baby there in Bethlehem. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. You should be able to see how this is pointing to Jesus. The sacrifice and offering were of any good only as the sacrificer, the offerer, was looking in faith to the blood of Jesus Christ who would come. Of themselves, they were no good. You can imagine, I should think, him saying in heaven, in the council of eternity, saying to his Father, as you have determined that I shall go to earth, I shall save my people by the loss of my life, I go, or I come. I am the one who is coming. I am the one who will rend the heavens and come down, as we were just looking several weeks ago in Isaiah 64, verse 1. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. Yes, you have or will be sending prophets to talk about my coming. You will give the priests and their offerings and sacrifices to make a picture of me. In the book, in the scroll, it is written of me. And I go, not because I have to, but because I want to glorify you, my Father, and because I love these people you've given to me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. And what did he do? Once he came, He proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Righteousness purchased by his life and by his death. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. I've not hidden your righteousness within my heart. Rather, I've declared your faithfulness and your salvation. In fact, he brought about that salvation, didn't he? I've not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. We can see Jesus mourning over the guilt of sin that he had taken upon himself. That's what's going on there in verse 12. My iniquities have overtaken me so that I'm not able to look up. They're more than the hairs of my head, therefore my heart fails me. It's not his own sin that he's suffering for, but for the sin of his people. And he is surrounded by wicked fools, the ones who had rejected him. He went to his own, and his own received him not, as we see in John 1:11. He called on God to deliver him, and God did deliver him. All those who have fought against him are brought to an embarrassing failure. Those who sought to destroy his life were driven backward and brought to dishonor. Now, one might say, well, Phil, you're just kind of making this all up. That's very clever and all, and we'll hand that to you. But aren't you kind of reaching there a little bit? Well, let me start reading in Hebrews chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Doesn't that sound kind of like verse 6 in Psalm 40 here? Therefore, when he, Jesus, came into the world, he said, ooh, look here in verse 5 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God. Down to verse 10. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This establishes it. David may have had some vague idea, but we see it clearly now. He was speaking beyond himself and speaking of Jesus. We have precious words here from the heart of Jesus in eternity past. He delights to come save sinners. Well, let us take heart, for we are great sinners. We sang about that here in the Psalm book in Psalm 25. And I'll be reminding you of that when we come to the sermon. And we'll be singing about this here a little bit. We are sinners. We need such a Savior. And such a Savior the Father gave. Such a Savior joyfully came. Such a Savior has been applied to us by the work of the Holy Spirit. Our one God in three persons has saved us. And that for his delight, that to his glory.